Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and tonight we are joined by Latoya Turner, Lashes by Toya, and we have Suzanne Patterson back who's going to bless us with some more great information about this high-definition camera. But first, I just want to give everyone the call-in number. It's 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399, and I believe Denise has some information for us.
I do. A couple of things. Mainly, wanted to tell you about a new makeup class that I just found out about. It's the Eye Elements makeup class with makeup artist Joy Randall of Flawless Makeup Art. The class is going to be held in Charlotte on August 22nd. The entrance fee for the class is only $40, and it's going to start at 4 p.m., and there will be products available for purchase after the class. And let me get you the address for the class. I thought I had it here. Maybe not, but I'll put the information out on the blog. But it's at, actually I do have it here. It's at Dolce Lusso Salon and Spa, 7808 Ray Road, Suite A, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277. And if you want more information on that, you can call Flawless Makeup Art, 704-975-9526. Again, that's Flawless Makeup Art, 704-975-9526. And we'll put that information in the Beauty Lounge as well as on the blog, so look for that. Also, don't forget to go out and check out the Beauty Talk Sizzle. We're still trying to get our views up there, so before we release our first episode, which will be released, give them the date.
August 30th.
August 30th. And so go out to youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. I'll put that link in the chat room as well as on the blog again. So go out, watch it. If you know someone who hasn't seen it, have them go out to watch it so that we can get our views up there. And again, the first episode will be airing on August 30th. And I believe that's all we have.
Wonderful. I just want everyone to know that you can go out and join or like the the Beauty Talk, the web series page on Facebook. And once the show premieres, you'll be able to view it on the Facebook page as well until the web channel is complete and ready to go. So you can do it on YouTube or Facebook.
Oh, I do have one more thing, and Jennifer James may be a little late joining us in the chat room tonight, and she didn't get a chance to announce the winner of Danessa Myrick's new DVD, Fundamental Beauty. She started she had a giveaway that she was doing a couple of weeks ago, and the winner of that is Devin Cofield. So we just want to say congratulations to Devin. Hopefully she'll be joining us in the Beauty Lounge in a little bit. And she's the winner, so just wanted to make that announcement.
All right. Well, Suzanne, I wanted to let you know that you were truly missed. And
well, thank you.
Even though Sarah was there, you know, for three shows, hour long, giving us all this information,
wow.
Your segment was still missed. So
well,
it's on you for the next
five minutes. I'm just here to you know, add my little bit. It's all good, right? It really is.
Right.
Okay, so for HD technology and technique update, you know, I always like to do a little bit of the technical and then the makeup tactical. So this evening I'm going to talk about lux and lumens. It's something that probably a lot of makeup artists have little to no knowledge about, but again, knowledge is power, and it's the type of knowledge, an interface with lighting yet again, that you need to embrace, not be afraid of. It's not something that is going to directly affect you personally in your job, but it is very good to be able to have a working knowledge when you're on set, especially when you're interfacing with the lighting people. So I'm taking lux and lumens. I'm calling this lux and lumens 101, knowing the difference. This is getting more into the science of how light is measured and how it emits or reflects, because light does two things. It either emits or it reflects back. And it's good for makeup artists to help them understand a little bit more about how important lighting really, really is, and to gain a little more insight into understanding how the lighting department works, you know, what their job is. So in defining how bright something, an object or a subject is, we have to consider two things. First, we have to consider how much light is falling on something a certain distance away from the light, and that's called lux. And then we have to consider how bright it is at that light source, or how bright that light is, which is called lumens. So you have two different elements of light going on. Okay, so we're going to start with lux. Well, what is lux? It is a metric-based measurement of the amount of light that falls on a subject, or in this instance, let's say, the talent in a particular setting. So beginning with, let's say, one lux, this would be the equivalent to one lit candle of light illumination. That's a normal lit candle, or what's normally called candle power is what they call it, and which this can how this falls on a given subject. Or metrically speaking, 1 meter, and so they measure that, one candle power in 1 meter, which roughly translates to 3 feet. So you with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now, I'm making the distinction here that lux measurement is the amount of light that is falling, and I put in quotation marks, falling on the talent, not the light that is reflecting or emanating from the talent. It's the amount of light that's falling on them, that's reflected onto them. This is important to note because obviously a dark subject or scene will reflect less light than a light subject will. Cameras only see reflected light, thus the sensors in the camera are rated at various levels to detect light that is falling on a subject, and again, this is lux only, not the light reflecting back from the subject. So to give you some idea of lux output, a typical home is rated at about 300 to 400 lux, which is a much lower light setting for camera. A well-lit office is about 500 to 700 lux, and a TV studio is typically lit at 1,000 lux. Daylight in the shade is about 10,000 lux, and direct sunlight on a clear day is about 32,000 to 100,000 lux. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we're going with this. Okay, so now you know what lux is, right? So now we're going to talk about light values that are also rated in terms of lumens, which is the measurement of the amount of light emitting, or the total output of light from the light source. So that is the amount of light that is radiated out from the light source. Don't confuse this with luminescence. Okay, this is not about luminescence, which is an entirely different rating of light temperature that is not generated by heat, but that's light that is being emitted from physiological processes, chemical action, friction, or electrical action. Okay, so it's not talking about luminescence. So each lumen represents the brightness output of one candle, which can be measured at various distances. So that output candle, however far it throws, it can be measured at various distances. So Lumen is the amount of light leaving or traveling from a light source. And lux would be the amount of that light that reaches or falls on the subject. Okay, so now you see how it's working together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically, 100 lumens emitting from a light source measured at a distance of 3 feet is also 100 lux reaching the subject at a distance of 3 feet. They are different measurements of light. Remember, what the two different lux and lumens, the amount of light falling and the amount of light emitting. But they're essentially the same at this basic value. Now, here is where the values in lux and lumens begin to change, according to the amount of area that's hit from the light source. The difference between lux and lumen is that lux takes into account the area over which the luminous light, or what we call flux, is spread. A flux of 1,000 lumens concentrated, let's say, into an area of 1 square meter, lights up that square meter with an illuminance of 1,000 lux. Okay, so they're pretty much equal in that 1 square meter. However, if you take the same 1,000 lumens and spread it out over 10 square meters, it's a dimmer light because it has to travel farther. So there's where the luminance measurement comes up at only 100 lux. You with me?
Okay.
So take, for example, how to rate an ordinary 100-watt light bulb. This is a 100-watt lamp that will throw out about 1,750 lumens at 9 feet, and this is in all directions. So it means that roughly it gives 17.5 lumens per watt. So if this 100-watt lamp will throw about 17 lumens at 9 feet, given what you already know, if that distance and directional spill increases, what happens? Are you still going to get 1750 lux? Because the farther it has to spread, the dimmer it gets, right?
Right.
You know, if you go back and listen to this, and I know you're hearing this all for the first time, but really, after this is done, and you go back and you listen, and you listen to it several times, it will make total sense to you. Yeah, trust me, it will. So basically what it's saying, that lumen and lux have this roughly the same measurement in a square foot. So, but as that square foot begins to increase, then the amount of energy that light can throw becomes dimmer because it's asking to throw light in a farther direction. So the farther it throws, the dimmer it becomes. So obviously, you need to, you know, you'll have to bump it up. This is how they measure in units what the camera can read. So cameras are rated at different sensitivities to read lux, especially in low light situations. And sometimes you'll have different cameras being used for different low light situations because they're better rated for those purposes. So this is where it begins to have an effect on set. Since lux is measured at the subject, the camera's maximum lux rating must be at that level to adequately calibrate and record the scene properly. So it's really important for the DP to know the camera's lux rating in order to know its ability to gather the ambient light for optimal recording performance. So lux is very, very important. Okay, so go back and listen to this again a couple of times, and I think it will really make sense to you. It is two different ratings of light, and they have the same rating in small areas. I mean, this is a summary of it, but as it's being asked to throw out more distance, then the lux rating drops because it becomes dimmer. There's only so much luminance that it can throw. I mean, illuminance that it can throw out before it's got to be bumped up. Okay?
Gotcha.
It really is. It's really worthwhile to go back and listen because, you know, knowledge is power, and it helps you to understand the lighting guys a little bit better and what they're doing. Especially it helps
Absolutely.
You understand why, you know, on big shoots and stuff and different lighting scenes, why sometimes they'll bring in different cameras.
Oh, okay. They'll switch up on the camera.
Because of the camera's a lux rating. That's a whole other thing. I don't want to get into what I told you is enough to really give you a good working idea, because now you're going to understand what are they doing with those meters, you know? Now
right,
you understand
exactly
what they're doing with the meters, okay? Is that they're doing these measurements, and they have to know the brightness output. So now those meters will make sense to you. Sometimes the meters will read color temperature, you know, how much Kelvin is being thrown out from their lights, and sometimes they'll be reading lumens to see how much illumination they need.
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
Okay. So on the technique side here, do you remember when we talked about the eye light
mm-hmm.
in the last segment, you know, about this little well-placed light that's often used in three-point lighting?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I didn't get to really touch on this. Probably I'm going over time a little bit here, but so we talked previously about this eye light, and this brings to mind a few things, because if you remember, let me just go back here for a second to my, I have my little scribbled notes here. The eye light is used, and I probably should go back and... it's the small little light that's not necessarily placed in line with the key light, but it's basically there to give illumination to the eyes. That's what the eye light is for. So some of the things that if you want to really enhance this is especially true with closer up shots. Keep in mind that when you're doing your makeup, if an eye light's being used, one of the things that I'm always making very sure of is that I clear the sclera of the eye of any redness. And I do this by either using a redness reducer drops or, you know, the famous bluing drops. Everybody knows what the bluing drops, because that bluish tinge just really brightens the white. So I'm always really careful about doing that. I make sure that the sclera is as clear as possible. Another thing that I pay attention to is the brow bone on the talent. The more prominent the brow bone, the more emphasis I give on the lashes, especially with deep-set eyes. And this is a really good lead-in with our guest, because I'm all about lashes, definitely, whether they're extensions or using... A product that I really love to use, which is a lash primer. Lashes are really, really important when you have deep-set eyes or a very prominent brow bone, because typically with a prominent brow bone and deep-set eyes, the eyes are very, very small, and so they need a lot of help, and this is where you'll see eye lights being used. So really play up those lashes. You know, in HD, the only thing that really works that, of course, this is just my artist point of view, the false lashes just don't work, because you can see the strips and you can see the knots in the singles. They just don't look good. A well-placed set of lash extensions or using lash primer and I use two different formulations of mascara. I don't use the same one. I use two different formulations, because I have found that really helps to bring out. And I don't know why. I can't explain why, but for many, many years I have just found that when you use a lengthener and then use a thickener, they really, along with a lash primer, if you're not using the lash extensions, really makes a huge difference, So... think about clearing the sclera of the eye of any redness, and play up those lashes when you're working with an eye light.
So you're saying to us that in HD, that the strips and the individuals...
Yep, you can see them. I avoid them. I don't, especially if you have a medium to tight close-up, you can definitely see them, and that's very distracting to the eye. So I'm all about lash extensions and either using the lash primer along with I've taken to use in two different formulations. So,
well, yeah, I guess basically,
works for me.
I guess basically when you're working, for instance, on a film,
mm-hmm.
well, I guess if you're working with a character who's mm-hmm. going to be there from throughout the duration of the filming process, then they may be great candidates for lash extensions.
Oh, yes, yes,
if
yes.
If you have someone that comes in just for a day, maybe 2 days,
mm-hmm.
you would suggest maybe doing the primer?
If you don't have the ability or the budget, you know, for lash extensions, or, you know, if your talent doesn't want it, then I never, ever do lashes anymore without lash primer first. Never. Lash primer is just that fattener and thickener that reaches all the way to the tip of the lash. I mean, this really, even the skimpiest, tiniest, babyest lashes seem to come to life with a lash primer. And I've scoured and scoured, and I've tried 3 different formulations that I've brought into the store, and I finally found one that I just absolutely love, and this is the bomb. So this is you know, without fail, this is what I use. I definitely when I've
can
got.
You, can you mm-hmm. tell us some of the ones that you have?
Oh yeah, it's Natural Born Cosmetics lash primer.
Okay.
Mhm. And then I use the one of the 3 Natural Born Cosmetics mascaras. But it's using, you know, I'm usually the primer and then, you know, 2 thin coats after that. And I always like to mix the formulas. I never just use just one formula. I have always found that you get such wonderful dramatic results, even for the smallest eyes, the skimpiest lashes eyes. One of the things that I really love to do with small eyes and a prominent brow bone situation is I will take the gel liner, and I will paint that right across, right underneath the lid table at the top of the lash, and I'll just do a really broad stroke, and then I'll take a cotton swab, and I'll just wipe it down so that it leaves a really, really dark line, but it doesn't look like a liner. So anything that you can power up the eyes, seriously, pull out your bag of tricks, you know, try different things, but anything that you can do to power up the eyes when you've got you know, especially when you're working in an eye light situation, especially with all small eyes, but make sure that you always clear the sclera, you know, the redness out of the eyes. And I usually ask talent to, you know, bring their eye drops or, you know, I'll use the bluing, either one, so, or have them bring it along. But and I have them put it in. I'm kind of squeamish about dropping it in myself. I don't feel that's something I'm qualified to do, so I hand it to them and have them do it.
Okay.
I think it's safer. When it comes
right.
to the eye, I can suggest, and but there's just 2 things that I have avoided, and that's using a lash crimper, a metal, you know, an automatic lash crimper, and a dropping eyes. I'm just a little, I guess, on the safe, you know, better safe than sorry side. I've always been that
right.
way. And it's and there's
right.
nothing to be ashamed about, because it is about safety.
Absolutely.
So there you have it, ladies. It's always a pleasure to speak with
you
all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for calling in this week, and that's a great lead-in to our guest today.
It sure is, and I'll be excited to listen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. LaToya Turner, how are you?
Good evening.
How
I am
are
fabulous.
You?
How are you?
Great.
Good.
How's
Thank
everyone,
so
I should say?
Well, we're wonderful.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
Just to get this out of the way before my sister says anything, I'm getting my lashes done first. Just wanted to say that.
And like I said on Twitter, I live a lot closer than she does. So
that's true.
Me first.
We'll have to see.
Me first.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be racing up and down the road.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting what Suzanne was just sharing with us about the lash extensions.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I hope that a lot of makeup artists would be encouraged to want to learn. So what I wanted to start off by asking you, Toya, is, first of all, tell us a little bit about what you do and a little bit about your background, because I was confused at one time. I wasn't sure if you were also a hairstylist.
Oh, yes. Hair is my first love. I am a licensed cosmetologist in Virginia. I've been doing hair for quite a while. I actually started in the kitchen, as most people did, with my grandmother. And fast forward to a few years ago, I went to a hair show in Chicago. And I saw lashes being done. I saw semi-permanent lashes being done. And I was used to wearing the strips and the temporaries. And so that just really turned things around. But, yes, hair is my first love.
Okay. So you are a hairstylist.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you talked about, you just briefly said, you know, you saw semi-permanent. And what was the other, ones you mentioned?
Now, I call them temporaries. It's a big...
Temporary.
yes. There's a difference. There are a few different types of lash extensions or false lashes or lash enhancements. You have the strip lashes, which are one band, and a lot of the times you can find them in Sally's. You can go to the MAC counter and get them applied, or you can buy them and put them on yourself. They usually last a day. You have to take them off at the end of the night. The second type are clusters, tabs, or flares. Now, some people call them individuals, but I don't. I call them temporaries because they last maybe up to a week, and they are just that temporary lashes. They give you a nice full look, and you can somewhat customize them according to the person's eye. The third type is the semi-permanent, which are actual individual hairs, and they are attached to your natural lash extensions, your natural lashes one by one. And then you have the permanent lashes, which only a doctor can do. And that is a little on the scary side. They scalp the back of your neck, and they implant the hairs into your lid. And that's for people who have absolutely no hair on their lids, and they really want their lashes back. So those are the different types.
Do you recommend those?
The permanent ones?
Yeah.
Oh, my. It depends. With the permanent lashes, the thing is, since they're taking the hair from the back of your head, it's still going to grow and it's still going to act like the hair on the back of your head. So if it's curly, it's going to curl. If it's really straight, it's going to be really straight. So it all depends.
Lord knows I don't want the hair from the back of my head.
if the person is not allergic to lash adhesive, then I would definitely just go with a strip if they don't have any lashes. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, like you said, they're semi-permanent, and you call those individual.
Yes.
But pretty much known, or it's called, a lot of people are walking around calling your clusters or your flares individual lashes.
It's just like when people call relaxers perms. Oh, I'm going to get a perm,
right.
But it's really a relaxer. So it's about education. Once people are educated on what they actually are, what they look like, and the proper name for them, then maybe they'll change.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I do refer to the temporaries as the clusters or the flares or tabs because they are 8 to 10 bunches of hair clustered together or bunched together.
What was that last word you said, tabs?
Yes, tabs.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that term also used.
Okay. Now, I've seen, apparently, the temporaries are becoming very popular.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing them everywhere, and I'm hearing different things about them. I'm hearing people, say that they've been applied with hair bonding glue. I'm hearing people, and I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are also, someone was telling me actually yesterday that she wears them all the time now because she was getting them done a lot. And I think she said they were lasting for like 2, maybe 3 weeks, I guess because of this hair bonding glue. And she would go in for her, I guess, her touch-up, but it really wouldn't be a touch-up because basically what she would do is she would get them done just all over again. But she said the more she did it, you know, her lashes came out. And
I
now
can't imagine.
Yeah, and it's now it's like, you know, because it's not like your lashes are going through a typical lash growth period. They're just coming out every 2 weeks.
I'm pretty sure when she's going back to the salon or when she's having them taken off wherever, they're probably just pulling them off and not using the proper remover. But with all
right.
of that glue and all of those heavy flares or clusters sitting on top of your lashes for a long period of time, it's going to do damage. For people who are, what I say, become lash addicts, I would suggest switching over to the semi-permanent. Yes,
okay.
it's a big cost in the beginning, but you're saving your lashes. And but if someone just wants them for the weekend, of course I don't mind applying the flares, but I do try to educate them. Look, if you do get addicted to them, let's switch over because you don't want your lashes just coming out or being weighed down from the cluster.
Gotcha.
And the hair bonding glue, oh, my goodness, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's just not the same. I mean, we only get one set of eyes. We really do. Doctors are great, but we only get one set of eyes. And hair glue is made for the hair on your head and not the hair on your eyelids. I'm sorry.
And I think it's important for people to know that when you go somewhere and have the temporaries or the semi-permanent lashes applied, that you should be going to someone who is licensed to do so.
Yes, licensed, certified.
Certified, yes.
I know that in the state of Virginia right now they did not require a license, but I would suggest getting some type of certification doing either the temporaries or the semi-permanent, you know, just
right.
to have that piece of paper and your clients are comfortable with that.
Right.
Like I said, you only get one set of eyes. So,
absolutely.
And, I've seen some horror stories at the nail salon where someone was getting the flares applied and they had to hold their eyelids open at a fan and the lady, her legs were shaking and she was crying. I'm like, it's just not right. So I would definitely suggest getting the proper training. And for the consumer to, you know, to research the person, the technician that they're having their lashes applied by.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now let me ask you this, Toya, going back to the certification and the license, if someone's a licensed esthetician, would that be all the license that they need to apply lash extensions if they were to go through a class and become certified?
Well, it really depends on the state that they're in,
mm-hmm.
the lash company that they decide to get their training through.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm not sure if everyone knows, but I am an extreme lash stylist. So with extreme, you had to have some type of professional license before you took the class, whether
mm-hmm.
A cosmetology license, esthetician, or a nursing license, something. So it really depends on where you are, but I would definitely have some type of beauty background or
right.
health background. Yes, before
right.
dealing with the eyes or have some education behind it.
Well, that's good. That's good that they require you to have a license before you can even take the class.
Yes.
So, I mean, I feel comfortable with that.
Yes, because there are some companies where you can order a DVD online and you can watch something online.
Right.
And you can just purchase the products and start doing the extensions. Now, everyone learns a different way. So if someone can learn by the DVD or online, then that's fine. But I would, you know, definitely suggest having more than one class or more than one way of being taught the technique.
Mm-hmm. Because really, all the class can do is certify you.
Well, that depends on the company. I know that with Extreme, there's a bit, their steps towards getting certification is pretty strict. So it's not just take a class, okay, you're automatically certified.
Right.
So are there more requirements besides that? So it really depends.
Right. So, well, ultimately, you know, we would think that you would get a certificate after taking the class. But, I mean, it's not like no particular class can give you a license. That's only through the state.
Right, right. Like I said, whether it be a cosmetology license, a nail technician license, nursing,
mm-hmm.
esthetician,
mm-hmm.
some type of professional license first.
Right.
And looks like we have a caller. Hello, Paula, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great, and yourself?
Good evening.
I am fine. My name is Kadeen, and I'm also here in Virginia. And I believe Toya already answered the question, because I had a friend who's been going to Toya for quite a while, and I will be pretty soon. But she also had a horror story going to another stylist, getting the flares and having the flares attached to her. And my question is, when your lashes are damaged, because I know someone else who lashes are damaged from going to the nail salons to get their lashes done, could you still get semi-permanent lashes added on, or do you have to wait till it grows back?
This depends. That was a really good question, by the way. This depends on the state of their natural lashes when they actually come in. If they... let's say, for example, a basic set of lash extensions, semi-permanent extensions, is between 50 to 75 extensions per eye. That's individual hairs. Now, if someone comes in and their lashes are really damaged from wearing the temporaries over and over again, or damaged from other things, if they don't have at least 50 natural lashes per eye, then I would suggest not having them done. I would tell them to wait and to preferably not touch their eyes and let them grow in for a little bit longer. The natural cycle is about 60 to 90 days. So hopefully it's not too much damage to their eyes, but if it is, then they have to wait.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I was just gonna also ask, along with that, if they don't have the 50 to 75 hairs, while they're waiting, do you suggest doing something in particular? Should they be doing something in particular to their lashes, or just waiting for them to grow? Or
if they choose to use a lash growing serum of whatever brand they choose, then that's fine. But as long as they're not touching their lashes or putting more extensions on, like the flares or the strip.
Right.
As long as they're not putting on more lash extensions, then they're fine. They want their natural lashes to grow back in so they can get more extensions. The semi-permanent. Either just naturally letting them grow back in or using a lash growing serum would just be fine.
And I think people need to really take that in consideration, because other nail salons, despite on how damaged your eyelashes is, they're still going to apply the lashes. And I guess that's what makes you different from the rest. You won't apply it because you promote healthy eyelashes.
Oh, yes. And see, the difference is with the temporaries and with the clusters, flares, or tabs. I'm just going to bunch them up and call them temporaries. With the temporary lashes, most of the time they'll put them on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the glue is pinching the skin, and it's irritating, and it's also weighing the lash and the eyelid down. With the semi-permanence, you can barely see the glue. You can barely see where the extension ends and begins. It's practically weightless. So it's a major difference on the eye. Yes, I would definitely tell them if their lashes are damaged, wait so you can get semi-permanence if you are a lash addict. But don't keep putting on those temporary lashes. They'll just keep hurting your eyes. And I used to wear them also. I used to wear them for almost 3 years until I switched over to the semi-permanence, and I've been wearing them ever since.
Let me ask you really quick, because I thought I heard you say, while they're waiting, not to do anything to their lashes, don't wear the temporaries. But did I hear you also say don't wear the strips?
Well, the strips can also sit along your skin, along the lid, right along your lash line. It's really tricky. It depends on the the glue that they're using, the adhesive, depends on how they're putting the strip on and how they're taking it off. If they do any of those steps improperly, they can do more damage to their eyes and to their lashes. So if anything, just don't wear any lash extensions until your lashes grow back in. Use some great mascara, use a lash serum, but no more extensions until they grow back in.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one last question. Now, how can I live in Virginia, and I just ran across your information on Twitter. How can I make an appointment with you?
Oh, well, if you're in Virginia, even if you're not in Virginia, if you're coming by the area, my clients can actually make their appointment online through my website and also through bestsalonsearch.com. You can search Lashes by Toya.
And Toya, your website.
Oh, my website is Lashes. It's kind of long, so excuse me. Lashes by Toya, LLC, .webs.com. So it's Lashes by Toya, LLC, .webs.com.
Okay, well, that's all I have, ladies.
All right, thank you for your call and your questions.
Thank you.
All right, good night.
Toya, let me ask you this, because on the BBM chat, someone's wanting to know who can they go to in the New York area. They're in Brooklyn. Do you know any extreme lash stylist in New York?
To find an extreme lash stylist, I would go directly to the extremelashes.com website, and they have a Find a Lash Stylist directory, and you can put in your zip code, you can put in your city and state, and they'll give you at least 5 different stylists in your area who you can go to.
Okay.
Now, as far as the temporary lashes, if they need to find another lash stylist that does those, I would just definitely get word of mouth and look at other people's lashes, because right now there's not a specific license or certificate for the slayers or the clusters.
Right.
What I wanted to ask, because there are several companies out there, you know, you have your Extreme, you have Lavish, you have Savasana, you have this, you have that. You know, we've all gone through different ones to get certified. What makes each company different? Because the reason why I ask that question is because, you know, sometimes you'll go to, let's say, the Extreme website, you know, and they have products that's specific to, I guess, that company.
Mm-hmm.
As a lash stylist, if you're you're certified through Extreme, I was certified through Savasana, would I be able to use products from Extreme? Not specifically talking about the hair fibers or anything, but if I wanted to purchase the adhesive or, you know, something else. Okay.
I would say no, because this is also tuning into my cosmetology side. When you're using one line, you want to try to stay within that one line, especially when it comes to the eyes. Different lash extension companies have spent many, many hours on research on what adhesive works for them and what adhesive works for their lash extension specifically. So I would stay within that line. I would not mix the hair fibers with the adhesives, with any primers, with any cleaning agents. I would leave it all within one line.
So basically you're saying, you know, if you're certified through another company, if you wanted to try products from Extreme or somewhere else, then you need to only be using the Extreme adhesive with their lashes.
Well, this also depends on the company. I know that with Extreme, you can't just purchase their products or any of their application products. You must be certified or must have taken a class with Extreme. Now, there are some companies, like I said, you can order their things right online. You can order a DVD. You can order their adhesive. You can order their extensions.
Mm-hmm.
You can just place an order, and you can have it shipped to your door in no time. But it just all depends on the company.
Gotcha. I think it's important for lash stylists out there to know that, because I don't think everyone knows that. So you should kind of be aware of that. You just can't get adhesive from anybody and think it's going to work.
And then people, I mean, we've seen this with food. You can say one thing and it does another, or it tastes another way, or has other ingredients inside that you don't know. So besides doing research on the company name and do some research behind the adhesives and, you know, what they did to come up with that adhesive and how it actually works.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Learning a lot of stuff here. Now, you have to. Well, you and I have talked a while ago, and I was telling you some of the issues that I was coming across in the very beginning, and then, you know, since working at it, it's gotten a lot better, and I'm really liking lashes also.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. As long as you put the practice in, it is tedious work. It does take a long time in the beginning, especially with the semi-permanent lashes. Temporaries, you can get them down to maybe 30 minutes to do both eyes. But the semi-permanent lashes, is in the beginning, it may take you 3 to 4 hours. It just all depends. So, but, of course, with anything else in life, you have to do more and more practice, and not just once a week, but do lashes either every other day, every 2 days, so you can really get the technique and really get the effect and the look that your clients want and desire.
Tell us, when it comes to the semi-permanent, you know, we heard her speak about some issues that someone that she knows had, and I also said something about someone who was wearing the temporaries and now they really don't have any lashes at all.
Mm-hmm.
What about someone who doesn't wear lashes at all, but they come in for the first time and want the semi-permanent, but they really don't have any lashes at all? How do we know who can get lashes and, well, the semi-permanent lashes, and who can't? And I'm just speaking of people who haven't worn anything.
Okay. I can give an example of someone maybe who has finished chemotherapy, who has maybe lost all of their hair and is slowly growing back in. I would suggest, again, waiting until they are completely finished with chemo and about 6 months after that, until the natural lashes are strong enough and healthy enough to apply a lash extension. But for someone who is not sure if they have enough natural lashes, then I would have them come in for a quick consultation, because I would rather you come in for a consultation for maybe 5 minutes versus setting an appointment, you know, getting really, really excited about it and then being let down when I say that you can't get them. So, yes, indeed.
Right. And so when you consult with them, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, like, looking at their lashes, how do we figure, okay,
if they're a good candidate? I'm looking at the amount of lashes, the number of lashes per eye. I'm looking at their curl. I'm looking at the length of the lashes. I'm looking at their density, if they're really thin, if they're medium, if they're thick. Someone who has maybe weak lashes, their lashes will be really thin and maybe really short. If it's damaged from maybe using a lash curler, then I would tell them to wait, and then we can later on apply extensions if it's a big piece missing, because I've also had that scenario. Someone using a mechanical curler, and they were doing too many things at one time. It slipped, and it took a big chunk of her lashes out. Now, we couldn't do semi-permanents. We couldn't do temporaries. We just had to apply a strip every day, and so they grew back in.
Wow.
Yes.
Toya, we have a question from the Beauty Lounge, and Devin is wanting to know, what are your thoughts about brow extensions or brow wigs?
Oh, my. I've heard of them, and I've seen them at a hair show. It just all, whatever floats your boat. If you can get them on and have them look as natural as possible, then it's A-okay. I would just be very careful, again, with the adhesive or the tape that's being used. With all these allergies, you want to make sure your client is not allergic to either the adhesive or the tape that you're going to be using. And that goes for the eyebrows or the lashes. So, but yeah, put the eyebrow extensions on and trim them and comb them on down.
Well, I've never seen that.
Like I said, it's quite a few things out there. I mean, some people need them for medical reasons. Some people need them for mishaps. So.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the lash tinting? I know in some states.
Oh my goodness! I personally do not prefer to tint any lashes because if that stuff gets in your eye,
mm-hmm. It's dangerous.
It's very damaging. It's very, very dangerous. So I would suggest getting lash extensions. I know that with extreme lashes, you have several different colors to choose from. So if you want black, brown, light brown, golden brown, auburn, whatever, you just get the extensions. I would not tint my lashes. And the amount of money that you're spending on the tinting, you might as well get the lash extensions anyway.
Gotcha.
And you'll get more length and curl with them versus just having, you know, darker lashes with the tint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And also the lash perming, I would stay away from that also. Have you seen
that? Is that not the lash perming?
Yes, they put a little rod across your eyelid and they perm your lashes. It's the same substance that they put on your hair for a curly perm. Yes,
oh,
stay
wow.
away. Just get lash extensions. You'll be fine.
Wow. Yeah. Now, are there, with your particular services of lash extensions, do you offer different, I mean, I know it's the same fibers, but do you offer different, when I say different types of extensions, I mean...
Like mink.
Yeah, like your mink, your silk, or, you know, different kind of combinations of things on your, you know, on your surface menu.
When it comes to the semi-permanents, I stick with the synthetic lashes. I do know of some stylists that choose to use the mink. There are synthetic mink and there are actual mink extensions. I do know that once you change the fibers, once you change the hairs that are being used, it will react differently with the adhesive.
Yeah.
So if you have, if the stylist chooses to use a mink lash, whether it be synthetic or real mink, then I would suggest having the adhesive that goes along with that lash. Now, if you're going to mix the lashes, have minks and synthetics together, then you're going to have a lot of glue on the table.
Right.
But if you're using, like I said, if you're using, I would stick to the adhesive that goes along with the lash extension. And that goes with even the temporaries. I would not use semi-permanent glue or semi-permanent adhesive with the clusters. I would not. It's not made for that. Because it will react differently on the eye.
Gotcha. So what's the big deal with the mink lashes?
Well, I know the synthetic, well, the real one, excuse me, you know, you're paying for actual real mink. The feel of them, the look of them, they're really soft and fluttery. The synthetic almost give the same thing. One of the disadvantages, though, is if you have the real mink extensions, you can't get them wet. So that really limits your activities.
Gotcha.
Versus with the synthetics, you can go swimming, get in the sauna, exercise, hot yoga, the whole nine yards. Have a great night in the honeymoon. But with the minks, you got to take them off.
Wow. But I've noticed that they can be a little more pricier.
Oh, yes, because you are, well, you are paying for the type of hair or the brand name.
Gotcha.
Just like with jeans, just like with hair. You have your synthetic wigs, you have your lace wigs, you have your human lace wigs, so it just depends.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you use lash curlers on the extreme lashes?
With the extremes, I do not use any lash curlers whatsoever. Extreme does have a heated lash curler, but I do not use it at all.
Mm-hmm.
They have different curls to choose from, so I really have no need to use a curler. And other lash companies have different curls out, and they're making even, they come out with different curls. So I would stay away from a lash curler. The point of getting lash extensions is to stay away from mascara, stay away from the curler, stay away from tinting or perming.
Mm-hmm.
It's to have this great natural look as soon as you wake up
mm-hmm.
and not have to worry about it.
But, you know, I've noticed because my client that I did last night, she, before I even applied the extensions, she wanted to know about mascara. Can you use mascara with these? And I know that a lot of companies, eyelash extension companies, sell mascara.
Yes.
It's like they want the lashes, but they still want to be able to apply mascara. I don't know if it's
And
like
I call them
Abbott
the mascaraholics. The mascaraholics, they have to put it on every day regardless, and I have quite a few clients who are like that. Now, I know that the mascara that Extreme has, it is safe to use on the extensions and on the bottom lashes, because when you're blinking, you're mixing products and chemicals on your eyes. And
mm-hmm.
if you have mascara on the bottom and extensions on the top, you're mixing them. So, but with the extensions, I would definitely just put mascara on the tips of them. I would not brush the entire lash like you would do your normal lashes. I would just do the tips of them. And that would just give a little more oomph or a little more pop to your eyes for the evening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I would definitely clean it off before you go to bed because it can mess up the extensions.
Well, speaking of going to bed, let's talk a little bit about maintenance on, like, you know, cleansing your face and, like, how to care for your lashes.
For the, for the strips, like I said before, you have to take them off every night. For the temporaries, which are the clusters or the flares, I would just be very careful cleaning around your eyes, taking the eyeshadow or any eyeliner off. I would stay away from oil-based products altogether. Oil will break down any adhesive, whether it be temporaries or the semi-permanent. So an oil-free makeup remover is perfect. I would stay away, completely away from anything that's made of cotton. Cotton can get caught to the extensions and either pull the extension off or pull your natural lashes off with the extension. So just be careful with that. And with the temporaries, you have to kind of what I call sleep cute. You can't have your face into the pillow, and you can't be all that wild sleeping because they are just that. They're temporary. They will move out of place. But the semi-permanence, you have more of you can do what you want. The first 2 days, you would stay completely away from water, no sauna, tanning, things like that. But after 48 hours, you can do whatever you like. I've been wearing my extensions now since March, and I love my sleep. And I'm a rough sleeper. And I still have my extensions on.
Now, you don't apply your own extensions, do you?
Oh, no. The extreme lashes or semi-permanent lashes have to be done by another person because your eyes are closed. I would say that majority of the semi-permanent adhesives that are out are too strong to handle with your eyes open. So
gotcha.
Your eyes have to be closed for that amount of time. And the technician is holding two sets of tweezers, so we definitely want your eyes closed.
Got it. Wonderful. Is there anything that you would like the listening audience to know about your business or just lash extensions in general that you know, that they should know?
My business has been great since I've been doing lash extensions. That's what I will say. For any makeup artist, hairstylist, nail technician, whatever professional license, or you want to get into beauty and you're thinking about lashes, just go ahead and do it. Find a class, whether it be a temporary, for the temporaries, the clusters or the flares. Take a class on that. If you are able to, take a class with semi-permanents. I would research the companies, research the training, and just go for it. It's a great add-on service. Your clients will be hooked. They're with you for life, unless they move away.
Right.
And it's a great boost in income, so I would definitely look into lashes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Give your website one more time, and also any other way that they can keep up with you.
Okay, well, definitely, first and foremost, Twitter, Lashes by Toya. You can also search me on Facebook, Lashes by Toya. And the website, again, it's a long one, I apologize, Lashes by Toya, LLC.webs.com. And that's it.
Great. Any more questions from the chat room?
What's your favorite mascara? And I know. I know.
Well, I don't have a favorite. I honestly don't have a favorite one because I personally don't use mascara, but some of my clients, I do ask them what they use or they used to use before they switched over to the extensions. And it's honestly whatever is your preference. Some people say Bare Minerals has a good one, good old fashioned Maybelline. So it just all depends. But I would stay away from the mascaras that have the capsules that have a lot of weight to your lashes.
Mm-hmm.
I would stay away from those. You don't want to add too much weight to your eyes.
Gotcha. With the extensions on.
But with the extensions or with the mascara, because I have seen some mascara that gets really clunky or in some that have that form capsules around your lashes, and those
right.
are very heavy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, Celia, here is the $100 question that we ask everyone.
Only $100? It's only worth $100.
I meant to say $1 million. The $1 million question that we always ask everyone, and that is, what is beauty to you?
Oh, I truly, truly believe that beauty is seen everywhere, and it's within everyone. Positive attitudes, a great outlook on life, that's beauty to me. It doesn't matter
great.
The size, it doesn't matter how tall, short, color, just what's really how you portray yourself and what's on the inside. That's what I find beautiful.
Wonderful, and I have to agree with that totally. Thank you so much for joining us, LaToya. That is our time.
I thank you so much for the invitation, ladies, and everyone else.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We thank all of our listeners tonight, all of those who listened by phone or those who went online, both in the chat room and on the BBM chat. And,
yeah, I'm trying to work the chat room and BBM. It's crazy. But
so thank you. Thanks to my sister for handling that. Thank you to Suzanne Patterson for calling in with her HD technology and technique update. I think I said that right. I always get that messed up, but it's the HD technology and technique update. Suzanne comes with every other Thursday, so please make sure you tune in for that every other Thursday. She has a load of great information that we need to know. And please, all the lash stylists out there, I hope you got something from tonight's interview. I know I did. Please listen, and just with everything that she said, and keep those things in mind because it's very, very important. She shared some really important information tonight, and we need to be aware. Thank you so much, Toya. If you guys liked tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite or leave a comment on our Blog Talk Radio page or our Facebook or Twitter page. You know, you can find us everywhere in social network land. So, you know, leave us some comments. If there's a particular topic you want to talk about or a particular guest you would like to have on the show, please send us an email at info@illusionsbeauty.com, and we'll do our best to bring you guys what you want. So with that being said, thank you all again, and have a great night.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.